What sounds like a jet plane taking off is actually a pump at the water treatment plant in Carrboro, something Ken Laughlin has heard almost every day for 13 years.
Water's being drawn into that column, like when you suck on a straw. A vent valve will open and water rushes out, and that puts a pulse into that flow of water.
Laughlin supervises the water supply at Orange Water and Sewer Authority, or OWASA. He remembers what many have called the water crisis from earlier this year, and there's a good chance you remember it too. It had people in Chapel Hill and Carrboro turning off their faucets, cutting out their showers, and using fewer flushes. Orange County health officials issued the Do Not Use order on February 3rd when OWASA's water supply was running dangerously low. It started when a plant operator fed too much fluoride into the supply before it left the plant.
Our level, the highest one we read, was like 5.9 parts per million.
What's the typical?
0.7.
That's a big jump. It put the fluoride level well over the legal limit set by the EPA, and OWASA hasn't been fluorinating since. They're installing a new computerized system in the meantime, with plans to begin refluoridating later this month, but it's got some people concerned.
We've been fluoride-free since February of 2017.
Want to stay that way? Show up at the next OWASA board meeting
and say no to fluoridation.
That's a clip from a promo video for fluoride-free Chapel Hill and Carrboro. The group is made up of OWASA customers like Daria Berizonde. She's got a stack of protest signs at her home in Chapel Hill.
And this one is F no. F standing for fluoride, of course.
Berizonde isn't a scientist or a doctor, but she says she's been reading about fluoride and its health effects for almost 5 years. And her conclusion?
If you want to mix it with your water, go ahead. Have fun with it, but I don't want it in mine.
Berizonde's been showing up to OWASA board meetings to state her case. She says the type of fluoride OWASA uses, hydrofluorosilicic acid, is dangerous. But so far, she's had no luck convincing the water board.
People who are in the dental world are so, so passionate and attached to their stand that they couldn't look at the science about it if it smacked him in the face. I mean, it's like amazing to me.
Alex White is a dental researcher at UNC's Gilling School of Public Health. He has been looking at the science. He published a study in 2014 that linked community water fluoridation to cavity prevention.
For dentists to advocate for fluoridation is to try to reduce the very disease they're trained to treat.
White says the fluoride OWASA uses is safe in the small amounts that it's added, not something to be concerned about.
It's in the water in many communities already, naturally. Adding it is simply adding a mineral to the water, just like we add chlorine to make the water safer to drink.
But Berizonde says, at the very least, consumers should have a choice, one that doesn't require buying a $1,000 filter or living on bottled water.
The core of our argument is that we all have the right to informed consent. We have a right to decide what medication we take.
In March, the OWASA board voted 7-1 to restart fluoridation in September, despite protests from the fluoride-free movement. The board says it relies on guidance from the CDC and the American Dental Association. So it won't be long before the water in these pipes flows with fluoride once again. In Chapel Hill, I'm Jay Siebold. The sun had already fallen and given way to darkness and chilly weather by the time protesters gathered outside the Wake County Courthouse in downtown Raleigh. About 50 of them showed up, young men and women dressed in all black. It was clear from the candles they held in their hands and the somber piano music playing in the background. This wasn't a typical protest. It was a vigil.
So I ask right now that we bow our heads as we present those lost dreams.
As protest organizer Miguel Figueres spoke, demonstrators carried a large black coffin through the crowd. The word dreams sprawled on its side. A reference to the Dreamers, those protected under President Obama's Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals policy, a program the Trump administration plans to end next March. One of those Dreamers is high school junior Reyna Gutierrez.
Right now all my friends are talking about college, and I don't know if I'm going to have a possibility to go to college or drive without being worried all the time that a cop is going to pull me over.
Congressional Democrats say they want to deal with the issue this month as part of the end-of-the-year budget deal. Some Republicans want to wait until the new year to iron out a larger immigration plan, one that could include provisions for heightened border security. In Raleigh, I'm Jay Siebold. It might not look like anything special with its beige walls and institutional fluorescent lights, but this hallway in UNC's Joyner Dormitory is designed to help transform lives. Here, in a simple room with a bed, a dresser, and desk, senior Peter Yogis opens his laptop.
I'm sorry, sometimes I get so bored and then I just start surfing on YouTube and finding these stupid videos.
But also on his laptop, Yogis finds reminders of his past life, like a selfie he took when he was 19 years old.
My pupils are the size of pinpricks. I had been picking at my skin. Yeah, I can definitely tell that I'm on a lot of drugs.
Yogis says it started with raiding his parents' liquor cabinet at age 13. Then he turned to pot and OxyContin. He says he was bullied at school for being gay, and pills were his escape. When he came to UNC as a sophomore, he couldn't kick what had become an addiction.
I would use more, and then the side effects would come. I mean, it really is insanity.
That's why now, as a senior, he lives here in Recovery House. It's a special section of the third floor of Joyner Hall, a place for students like Yojis, former addicts who are trying to stay sober.
I have a community here of people in recovery, which is really powerful, and it's helped me tremendously to stay accountable and help support me and build me up.
UNC is one of dozens of universities across the nation that offers separate housing for students in recovery. Many schools started their programs in the last decade, as the National Survey on Drug Use and Health found that college-age adults now have the country's highest rate of addiction.
Carolina is not unique to this, but we know that college campuses in general are what we might call sober, hostile environments. In other words, it's not easy to be sober here.
That's Dean Blackburn. He's the director of UNC's Student Wellness. He mentors recovering students in two special housing communities, the one in Joyner Hall for those who want to stay connected with campus, and one called Oxford House for students who prefer to get further away. Oxford House is a halfway house of sorts. Tucked in a backwoods neighborhood of Chapel Hill, it puts about 2 miles between students in recovery and potential temptations on campus.
So yeah, this is my room. It's a little bit of a mess right now, although I gotta say, it used to get a lot messier than this.
Alex is a senior at UNC. He asked us not to use his last name. He's worried about the stigma of people knowing he was a drug addict. But he's been sober for more than 3 years now. Two of those years he spent living here at the Oxford House.
It's a safe place for me because I don't want to live with drugs or alcohol. And if people do drugs or alcohol in the house, like, they got to leave.
Alex is one of six who live here, but Oxford House can hold 10. And the on-campus recovery house has a lot of space available, too. Dean Blackburn concedes the university could do more outreach. But students who found the program say they're glad they did. Back at Joyner, Peter Yojis has a hard time recognizing himself in those old pictures.
I don't feel like I look like that person anymore. Like, I see somebody completely different.
It's a difference he says is due, at least in part, to the place where he lives. In Chapel Hill, I'm Jay Siebold.